I'm going to give a short update on the IFB's activities in relation to the IFRS for SMEs. First, a quick reminder of what the IFRS for SMEs is. A simple way to describe it is good financial reporting made simple. It's a small standard, only 230 pages long, less than 10% of the size of full IFRS at the time it was issued in 2009. The starting point in developing it was full IFRS, and the IFB made simplifications to full IFRS based on the needs of users of financial statements and cost-benefit considerations, so considering the resources and capabilities of SMEs versus the benefits of the information to their users. Also, it's a completely standalone standard, meaning there's no requirement for SMEs to look to full IFRS. If the IFRS for SMEs doesn't address a particular transaction, SMEs are permitted, but they're not required to look back to full IFRS. But who is eligible to use it? Any entity that does not have public accountability. In other words, its securities are not traded on a public market, and it doesn't take funds from a board group of outsiders in a fiduciary capacity, typically the case of companies such as banks, credit unions and insurance companies. And also that it should be preparing general purpose financial statements, so those financial statements intended to cater for the needs of a wide range of users who are not in position to demand reports tailored to their needs. The main criteria when making simplifications to full IFRS and with differences between user needs of publicly accountable and non-publicly accountable entities. So in particular, the fact that SMEs do not have any public investors. The IFB felt users of SME financial statements often had a greater interest in short-term cash flows, liquidity and solvency over perhaps information for making long-term forecasts of an entity's earnings or value. There's more information on how the IFRS for SMEs was developed in the appendix at the back of the slides. Today, to the best of our knowledge, over 80 jurisdictions have either adopted the IFRS for SMEs or stated plans to adopt within the next 3 years. And again, in the appendix to the slides, there's a list of those jurisdictions. When the IFB issued the IFRS for SMEs, it made a commitment to undertake initial comprehensive review of SME experience in applying the standard when 2 years of financial statements using it had been published by a broad range of entities. And based on that review, the IFB said it would make amendments to address any implementation issues, and also it would consider whether it needed to make amendments based on any new and revised IFRS that had been published since the IFRS for SMEs was issued. And thereafter, the IFB said it expects to undertake reviews approximately every 3 years. The initial comprehensive review of the IFRS for SMEs got underway in June 2012 when the IFB issued a request for information. The objective of the request for information was to seek the views of parties currently applying the IFRS for SMEs and any other interested parties on whether there's a need to amend the standard. The request for information asked questions based on issues frequently raised with the IFB and also relating to new and revised IFRS. And it also encouraged respondents to raise their own issues. In early February 2013, the SME Implementation Group met to discuss the public comments received and also the staff analysis and developed a set of recommendations for the IFB on possible amendments. A report of those recommendations was published to the IFB's website in March. The IFB have began to discuss the main issues, and in fact they will probably finish discussing the main issues at their meeting next week, at which point the staff will then start drafting the exposure draft of amendments with input from the SME Implementation Group, with the aim of issuing an exposure draft in September time. And we expect to issue a revised standard in the first half of 2014. The IFB received 89 comment letters on the request for information, and these have all been posted on the IFB website. Apart from the comprehensive review, the staff have also been working on guidance to help micro-entities apply the IFRS for SMEs. This was developed with input from the SME Implementation Group, It's been in the pipeline for a while, but we expect that it'll be issued in the next week or two. It's not a new standard for microentities. It's simply guidance intended to help microentities that are applying general purpose financial statements under the IFRS for SMEs. So it's not really intended for microentities that are preparing financial statements, say, just for tax purposes. It's essentially really a subset of the IFRS for SMEs. We extracted those requirements from the IFRS for SMEs that are relevant to typical microentities. And this will enable microentities to more easily see which requirements are applicable to them. And we've also included some illustrative examples to help them apply some of the more complex requirements. And if a microentity encounters any transactions that are not covered in the guidance, it's required to refer to the IFRS for SMEs. So therefore, because the guide simply extracts requirements from the IFRS for SMEs and the microentity is required to refer to the IFRS for SMEs for any transactions not covered, for this reason, compliance with the guide will also result in compliance with the IFRS for SMEs. Now moving on to the areas on which we seek your views on today. Many of the issues raised in the request for information and also suggested by respondents relate to specific technical requirements in the IFRS for SMEs. However, there are probably three issues that stand out as the broader, more all-encompassing issues, and these are listed on the slide. And we propose these issues are discussed during the breakout session. And those are whether to permit use of the IFRS for SMEs by publicly accountable entities, also how to address recent changes to full IFRS during reviews of the IFRS for SMEs, and also how frequently future reviews of the IFRS for SMEs should take place. And the ISB have already spent a little bit of time discussing these first two issues at recent meetings. So I'll now go over these three issues in a little bit more detail. The first issue is use by publicly accountable entities. The current intended scope of the IFRS for SMEs is entities that do not have public accountability. The IFB cannot prohibit jurisdictions from permitting or requiring publicly accountable entities to use the IFRS for SMEs. However, there's currently a requirement in the standard that prohibits those entities from stating compliance in their financial statements. So currently, if a jurisdiction did want to permit a publicly accountable entity to use the IFRS for SMEs, it would need to change the name and bring it in as part of the local GAAP. And then the publicly accountable entities would be able to state compliance with local GAAP that would be based on the IFRS for SMEs, but it could not state compliance with the IFRS for SMEs. Reasons that we've heard for extending the scope of the standard is firstly, some respondents note that there are different degrees of public accountability and therefore that some entities meeting the definition are perhaps borderline cases. So one example may be a small family company which is thinly traded outside of a regulated financial market. Respondents say that the needs of the users of the financial statements may be similar to the needs of users of SME financial statements. Plus, some constituents have told us the IFRS for SMEs may improve reporting for some publicly accountable entities. For example, some jurisdictions may have not adopted full IFRS for all publicly accountable entities because of the perceived complexity or lack of resources in the jurisdiction. So these entities may currently be applying a local GAAP that's inferior to the IFRS for SMEs. Some respondents have also said that publicly accountable entities may be producing poor quality financial information under full IFRS because of lack of expertise or resources. And again, they say if those entities were able to use the IFRS for SMEs, it would improve their financial reporting. And the ISB did consider whether to replace the requirement that prevents publicly accountable entities from stating compliance with the IFRS for SMEs with a disclosure requirement. So perhaps requiring publicly entities to disclose that they're not in the intended scope, but they've been permitted to use it by the regulator in their jurisdiction. However, the IFB was more in support of continuing to prohibit publicly accountable entities from stating compliance with the IFRS for SMEs. Firstly, due to concerns that the standard is specifically designed for SMEs, so it may not appropriately cater for a wider group. And this may lead to pressure for requirements to be added to the standard to accommodate a wider group, which would increase the complexity of the standard. And also there were concerns about protection of the IFRS brand and reputational risk if the IFB removed the restriction on publicly accountable entities using the IFRS for SMEs. The second board issue is how to address changes to full IFRS during reviews of the IFRS for SMEs. Now the IFRS for SMEs was based on full IFRS when it was developed, modified based on user needs and cost benefits. Full IFRS was used as a starting point rather than a fresh start approach because whilst although there are differences between the user needs of publicly accountable entities and SMEs, there are also similarities in those needs as well. However, going forward, the issue arises of how to balance the need for alignment with full IFRS with the need to have a stable and independent standard that's responsive to the needs of SMEs. Now, responses to the request for information on this topic were generally influenced by the respondents' belief of who the IFRS for SMEs is intended to cater for. Some want full alignment with full IFRS without any tie lag because they believe it should cater for subsidiaries that also prepare full IFRS information for consolidated purposes, or they believe perhaps that the standard should be a stepping stone for entities moving to full IFRS in the future. However, where respondents believe that the IFRS for SMEs should be an independent standard tailored for small companies, they consider alignment with full IFRS is not such a big issue, and it's important to test the implementation experience of entities applying full IFRS before the requirements are introduced for SMEs. The IFB developed these four principles as a framework to help them consider changes to full IFRS during reviews of the IFRS for SMEs. Firstly, the individual standards should be considered individually on a case-by-case basis. In other words, it wasn't really possible to identify any overall criteria for which IFRS standards should be considered. And also, they should be considered after publication, rather than waiting to when the post-implementation reviews were completed, because this could be many years in the future, which would also be added to the delay that the reviews of the IFRS for SMEs only took place once every 3 years. And also that the IFRS for SMEs would only be updated for changes to full IFRS during the 3 yearly reviews of the standard. So in other words, as changes are made to full IFRS, they would be accumulated. Any expected impact on SMEs would be accumulated and they would all be issued together an omnibus exposure draft at the next review of the IFRS for SMEs. The IFB also noted for this current review there's a special need for stability because even though the standard was issued in 2009, in most of the 80-plus countries that have adopted it, it's been effective for a much shorter period of time. So the standard is still a very new standard for most SMEs. And finally, the third issue is how regularly should the IFRS for SMEs be updated going forward? After the initial comprehensive review, the IFB stated that it expected to propose amendments to the IFRS for SMEs approximately every 3 years. Now, views on whether 3 years is the right frequency probably will also be linked with views on how closely the IFRS for SMEs should be aligned with full IFRS. It's worth noting that at the moment the SME Implementation Group can issue non-mandatory Q&As to respond to any issues that occur between the 3 yearly reviews of the standard. And also at the past meeting the IFB have also recently tentatively decided to set up another tier of Q&As and these would be mandatory Q&As for issues that require authoritative guidance and these Q&As would then go through full IFB due process. However, we believe that issues that would be dealt with this way would be relatively rare. So that's the end of my update. Are there any questions or comments?
Yes, Fumio.
Yes. Will you tell me, because I'm still not clear yet or maybe confused. Page 11 afterwards, you mentioned that the public accountable entities. So this means the public accountable entity means including the market-listed companies or not. And if yes, We request all companies, large, medium, small-sized entities to the full IFRS. I fear that may cause the delay of the IFRS expansion or introductions. But on the other hand, if we agree that IFRS for SME to the listed companies, how we distinguish the large and SMEs, and for example, by the sales volume, asset volume, or market cap or not, and who will decide, large company or SME?
I think maybe let me answer that in two pieces. The first one is that from an ISB perspective, we see three tiers. We see the listed publicly accountable companies, they would use IFRS. We see the non-publicly accountable entities that require general purpose financial statements, and they are eligible to use IFRS for SMEs. And then we see companies that don't require general purpose financial statements at all. The tax accounting that you were talking about, for example, earlier, they don't fall within our ambit at all, within the scope that we're looking at. But obviously we say that each company is free to trade up, if you like. So if you're a company that doesn't require general purpose financial statements, but you want to use IFRS for SMEs, you can. You can move up the ladder. If you're a company that's eligible to use IFRS for SMEs, but you want to use full IFRS, you can trade up there. If we were to open IFRS for SMEs, in terms of the discussions that we had at the board table, if we were to open IFRS for SMEs to publicly accountable companies, to listed companies, or to perhaps credit unions or something like that, we would leave that decision-making, that criteria, to the individual jurisdiction to decide. So, for example, that may be decided at by the regulator if it's a credit union, or perhaps by a specific stock market regulator if it's a listed company in a unlisted entity. What we would say is that this is what the intent is. The intent is that listed or publicly accountable companies should use full IFRS. Non-publicly accountable should use IFRS for SMEs. But were the regulator to decide under certain circumstances that can be overridden, they would need to set the exact criteria. And generally speaking, I'd say the criteria would probably be more about the breadth of holding or shares, or the breadth of participation in the company, rather than necessarily the size of the company. But that would be left to the regulators if we were to do it that way.
In this case, I think that we may lose a comparable, because, for example, in the A countries, the 100 million sales is categorized as large companies, but B countries, that are categorized as SMEs. So we may lose a comparable. This A countries, require the full IFRS, but the B countries require the US.
And I think certainly
for SMEs.
Absolutely. Certainly that was one of the concerns that was raised in the discussions at the board table. The contrary discussion to that would be that there are certain companies that are so narrowly traded, so they only held by their owners and one or two other people, that maybe that doesn't matter. But that's precisely the concern that was raised.
And that's one of the points that we'll be discussing in the breakouts. Other questions or comments before we go in, Jeff?
Thank you, Paul. Just a quick question. Can you give me a little more detail about the concerns that the board raised with respect to impact on the IFRS brand? Thank you.
I think the primary concern around the brand was that if a listed company, a publicly accountable, and perhaps I should take a step back and bear in mind the point that Michelle made, that the board felt that IFRS for SMEs was designed for non-publicly accountable entities, and to the extent that we allowed or accepted that regulators may define that occasionally a publicly accountable entity could use IFRS for SMEs, that would suggest that the company was using a set of standards that was not specifically designed for it. Were there to be an event later down the line, for example, a default or a bankruptcy or something along those lines, that may reflect badly on IFRS or IFRS for SMEs.
Christoph?
I got to admit, I struggle with that notion. because why doesn't it work the other way around? Full IFRS were made for publicly listed companies, but we don't disallow non-public entities to use them. Although you could make the same argument, it wasn't designed for them. But it's only one way, but not the other. And I also wonder whether the entire notion of disallowing it is more form over substance, if a jurisdictional entity could state, I follow it, IFRS for SME as adopted by my jurisdiction, which, by the way, is identical to the original. That's what an entity could state, and in substance, to me, actually, it's the same than saying I comply with it, and I don't see the risk for the brand to be significantly different depending on whether an entity, say, I comply with national, which is identical to IFRS for SME, or I comply with IFRS for SMEs.
I think we're starting to stray into what's likely to be a fairly animated discussion in the breakouts. But before doing so, Bruce, was there a point?
So I was just going to respond to Christoph's comment. I work in a lot of jurisdictions where this is a very, very big issue. The challenge for many of these is that a lot of the countries are starting to adopt IFRS and IFRS for SMEs because they just don't have the capacity in-house in their own countries to have a endorsement or standard setting process. There's just no depth to do that. Secondly, they're wanting the credibility of it being IFRS. So I think that the ISB has built a brand in IFRS and they're wanting their country to be seen as having that brand. So having the ability of saying it's effectively IFRS for SMEs, but it's not really. The example I'd give you is, I think we've been hearing about the carve-out that the EU's done for how many years now? And as much as very few companies use that, it's still an issue. So for a lot of these countries, it's the same thing. They don't want the issue of it being a tainted IFRS. So that it would be a concern for them in having it amended, even though the answer is the same.
All right. Well, I think we're ready to go. we have an hour. This is a new facility, so good luck in finding the intended destination. The breakout groups, you should have a list in front of you. We'll take our tea and coffee break as part of the discussion. If we could be back in an hour, please, and we'll be right on track. Thank you very much.